Yes. And he was trying to take a toy away, too, from the siblings, and he says, no. If you do that, it's dead. I will try to sit still. Yeah, it's the plug right at the... You replace the other one. It's the plug at the base. Yeah, so let me get this off. That's okay. Yeah. Turn on the back mics, too. So if I move around, they can the coral mic. Okay, so he was given an ultimatum. And he goes, do you understand? And Elijah, yes. 3 minutes later, Elijah was doing exactly what he was told not to do. And he says, go to your room. Do you know why? I don't know. And I laugh at that because I'm 70. You know what I'm starting to think? I don't know why I did that. So if you ever get to that place, realize that when they say as you get older, you start acting younger. I promise you, I don't stop my feet. That's something that never stopped with Shannon, so she can't help that. So we're at that case. But Elijah is a good repenter. And everybody, you know, I want you to realize it talks about David being a man after God's own heart, and we looked at that 2 weeks ago. It wasn't because David didn't sin. You got to realize, David committed adultery. David fomented the murder of his paramour, okay, of her spouse. David numbered the armies of Israel when he was told not to. And he was a man after God's own heart. I just say this so you understand. Repentance is a change of mind. It's not a change of direction yet, because if it was, then it means you got to change your ways to get saved. No. You change your thoughts on who you're accountable to and whether it can be your way or God's way. Again, Acts 20:21, it talks about repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. And so it's a change of mind. The word repentance in all its forms, I don't care if you say repent, repented, repentance, etc., going down through, it appears in your King James Bible 105 times. Do you think that's something that God wants us to understand? 105 times. It's not a separate step from believing or a prerequisite for believing. Because if you had to repent to believe, then it's works. Right? For by grace are you saved through faith. And what? And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about me. When you look at verses about salvation, and it talks about repentance in those, and there are some of them, and you look at verses about faith, as far as salvation, and there's many of them, the object of the faith and the object of the repentance is got to be God. My actions in my brain, my acceptance in my heart, it's about where you put the emphasis. Because there's people who try to say, if you don't repent, you're not saved. You got to repent first and then believe. No, it happens at the same time. All right? Repentance is going from unbelief to belief. Because you're changing your mind and what, you know, people say, well, I'm a good person. I've never killed anybody. I don't steal. I try, you know, this normally they say, I try to be honest. Because the minute they say, I've never told a lie, you know, they just told another lie, okay? Repentance and faith must take place in the same event. It's the work of God in your heart, okay? Acts 20, 21, I'm trying to bring us back up to speed here. Turn there. Acts 20, 21. Steve, would you read Acts 3:19 in a minute, okay? John Wall, I want you to read Acts 20:21. Let me see. Russ, would you read John 3:16? Okay? And Kevin Thomas, I'm going to have you read Luke 13:3. So you ready? They must be in the same event. Repentance towards God, faith towards Jesus Christ. Okay, John, read Acts 20:21. Repentance towards God and our faith towards who? Lord Jesus Christ. So it's faith when people say, well, repentance is making Jesus Lord. Belief is making him Savior. No, it's the same thing. If he's not Lord, are you truly saved? Because you're trusting in something else. All right? Now, the next one I said was John, was Acts 3:19.
Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
Okay. Do you see anything in that verse that says faith? Let's talk about conversion and your sins being blotted out. All right. John 3:16. Believeth in him. See, so what you're seeing, belief is required for salvation, isn't it? But you see, in the same token, it didn't mention repentance in John 3:16. It talks about belief. Acts 3:19 talks about repentance for conversion. Luke 13:3. So you see, what I want you to understand, does repent in belief mean exactly the same thing? No. But they are both required at the same time for salvation to be there. That's why when someone's, you know, there's a group, they're King James, all right? They were one of the biggest fundamental Baptist groups there was. And they would take people, they'd knock on the door, they teach you how to do soul winning. You get the door open, you stick your foot in the door so they can't close it, and you go through this prayer with them. Are you willing to pray with me? What? I'll read the prayer, you pray it as I pray it. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve hell. I know that Jesus Christ died for my sin. I accept him now as my Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name. Never any approach, never faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it says, now you've prayed that prayer, you're saved. Did they know what they were praying? Did they repeat what they heard? Yes. Is that salvation? Sometimes, if God's prepared their heart, but many times, it isn't. Why do you think children so many times have to pray again they get to be in their teens or in their 20s? The oldest I remember was in her 30s. They dealt with her. She was from the West Coast. I met her through Heather. She got saved. She was the daughter of a preacher. She did 1, 2, 3, pray after me at 5 years old, and then was afraid of hell for a long time. Afraid we might still going to go there. Ask Mary Thomas her testimony. You know what she'll tell you? I prayed then. I never had confidence. I want you to understand. Repentance is a change of mind. I cannot do it my way. Then I must do it God's way. What is God's way? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's not a big change. It's not understanding that you have to repent to get saved. It's a change of your mind. It's turning from unbelief to belief. And in doing that, you've just changed your mind, haven't you? Of how you think. Whether you don't even believe in heaven, you believe in heaven. Whether you didn't believe in God, you believe in God. Whether you believe that you could earn it because you're better than other people, or you realize you're a horrible, wretched sinner and there's no hope for you outside of Jesus Christ. When you turn from unbelief in God's way to God, you repent towards Him, and you, but then with that, at the same time you're believing on Jesus Christ, you just repented. Turn to Acts 26. Am I making sense for you? People try to make it complicated. There's those who say the repentance doesn't happen until after salvation. There's others who say you can't get saved until you've already repented. Ah, nuts. What does the Bible say? Like I said, sometimes you see it talk about them being converted because they repented. Converted, you know what it is? When you convert something, you change it. I go from 120 volts AC to 12 volts DC. You know what they use to do that? A converter. Amen? Okay. Acts 26. Look at verse 27. King Agrippa, this is who? This is Paul pleading to him. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou what? He believed in the prophets, but he didn't believe on Jesus Christ yet. See? Now watch. Then Agrippa said unto him, almost thou what? To be a Christian. He believed in the Old Testament. He didn't see Jesus Christ in them. Wasn't it interesting how well Brother Thren could show you Jesus Christ through Old Testament passages? He believed in that standard narrow way. He knew Jewish customs and law. And then he says, almost thou what? When you persuade somebody in something, what do? You change their mind. Am I adding to that? Almost thou persuadest me to be what? The disciples, I'm not going to quote this right, I'm sorry. I believe it says, the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. A disciple was a follower of. You can't follow someone that you don't believe in. Not truly. You can hypocritically, but not truly. So the term Christian was synonymous with those who had already repented toward God and had put their faith in Jesus Christ alone. You with me? Do you know in the Bible, I won't take the time for that, but there's times the word repent is not used in regards to salvation at all? Do you know that God said, you continue in this and I'm repenting of what I've promised you? He's going to change his mind. Did God ever change his mind? Well, he wanted the people to think so. He wanted them to know that. Did you know that some of the Israelites were following God? And they got caught in sin, so they repented from the good and turned to the evil. Repentance is a change of mind. All right? Acts 11. Acts chapter 11. Verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who what? Believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? I've had someone argue with me and say, well, they believe in him, but they haven't believed on him yet. And they get all hooked up on whether it's belief on or belief in. We had John 3:16 quoted to us. Russ wasn't reading it. He was saying it from memory, because I'm looking at him, and the Bible's down here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth what? In him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Here it says believe on. Put scripture with scripture. Because you know what we end up doing? We strain at gnats. All right? Okay. Acts 11, verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us. Okay, that's the gift of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. Who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand God? For when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then God hath also to the Gentiles granted what? They believe, and it says God granted them repentance. In the two verses, you see belief, you see repentance. It happened simultaneously. When salvation takes place, there's people who repent, not saved, all the time. They change their mind about something. Political action. J.D. Vance, when he first went to Congress, was a critic of President Trump. Now he is a staunch supporter. Is he a hypocrite, or did he learn more about it and repent of his prior thoughts? Has nothing to do with salvation, did it? Repentance is a change of mind. That change of mind when it comes to salvation happens immediately also with belief. You don't find them in the scriptures, one happening and then leading to salvation, or one believing and then leading to repentance. It's a simultaneous act, the work of God, in your heart that changes your thoughts. As a man believeth in his heart, so is he. You still with me? Romans chapter 1. I want to establish, there's so many more verses, I'm not going through that many verses, 105 verses on repentance, all right? That's not the point. You want to study that? Grab a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. That's the one you need to see all the verses, an exhaustive concordance, and look them up. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. One thing about your King James Bible, there's consistency in translation. It's the only of the English translations where there's consistency. That's why it's hard to do word studies in the other Bibles, because they change it continually to another synonym. Well, it means the same thing. Well, not when you're trying to look at the words. Every word of God is pure. Amen? Okay. Romans 1, famous verse. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the what? For it is the power of God unto what? To everyone that, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. It's the power of God that brings about salvation. Don't ask me to explain, because my pea brain can't figure out God. And neither can yours. how God works in salvation, but I have a free choice. I do not believe, when you study, even in the book of Romans, you study in Ephesians, when it talks about election, it doesn't say elected to salvation. How about being conformed to the image of his son? All right? And then it's supposed to be based on foreknowledge. And we have to think about that because you know what? We're finite. We think of our past, and we think of our present, and we think about tomorrow, right? Now, our God is not a created being. He had no beginning, and he has no end. That's why in Exodus, when he told Moses to tell the children of Israel, "Who hath sent you?" he said, "I am." Because that's the ever-living, ever-present one. He's before time. He created time so this pea brain can look at some things. Otherwise, this pea brain would explode. You don't have the knowledge. Can you imagine knowing everything about every person everywhere on the earth all at the same time? So they make a TV show with a supercomputer that tells you what's going to happen. And it's funny, the main star of that is also the guy who was Jesus Christ in the Passion of Christ, who through doing that came to know Christ. When the Jews came after Jesus and they said, "Who are you?" "Our father Abraham," blah, 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 blah. And he said in John chapter 8, "Before Abraham was, I was. Before Abraham was, I will be." No, he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they knew exactly what he meant because they wanted to stone him for it. Because he claimed to be God by stating that. He didn't just become God. He wasn't just born a man who became God. He is the I Am. "No man has seen the Father at any time, lest the Son declare him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." It talks about all things that were made by him. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form or void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said," who is the Word? So who spoke? Jesus Christ. "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So you see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. In Genesis 1, 1 through 3. They're all there. The Godhead's there. And Jesus is the I Am. Do you know the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, wasn't just made to help God the Father and Jesus Christ out? They were three in one. One God, three distinct beings, personages, each working in our lives. It's the power of God. Now I'm showing you how you can have repentance without salvation. Go to Matthew chapter 27. I won't go into what I truly believe, all of I believe about Judas Iscariot. You know, I'm not going to go into the fact that I believe he was the Antichrist. And he's coming back, the spirit of him. Okay? If you want to understand that, please ask Pastor Kenny. I don't have the time or the patience, because I forget, because I'm turning back into a child. Matthew 27. "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." Look at verse 3. "Then Judas," which had what? when he saw that he was condemned, did what? Unto salvation, and we shall see him in heaven forevermore. No. Repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, and I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it, to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and preached Jesus to the whole world. No, he hanged himself. He didn't repent towards God. He repented of the choice he had made. Do you know that Satan's going to repent of the choice that he made? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Don't know where that is? It's in the book of Philippians. Read it until you find it. He repented and he hung himself. See, I'm telling you, repentance isn't just about Jesus saving. Okay? Go to Hebrews chapter 6.
Yeah, but Hebrews is for the Jews during the tribulation.
Yeah, I know. All things are written for me, but all things are written not written about me. Okay? You know who's going to get a handle on the book of Hebrews? The Jews during the tribulation. They're going to have full understanding. You ready? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of Christ is who Jesus is. That he is God the Son. That he is the Messiah. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of what? Repentance from what? Repentance from dead works. And faith toward God. Repentance and salvation is repentance, a change of mind about your what? Dead works. Whosoever keepeth the whole law but offendeth in one point is guilty of what?
All.
How many times has your child got to tell you a lie to be a liar? How many times they got to take a piece of food, a cookie, or whatever to be a thief? That's because they're born sinners. They may not have the understanding, but you teach them to do right. You don't have to teach them to do wrong because they're very selfish. My son's working in a nursing home as a nurse. Do you know what happens when people get really, really old and they don't love the Lord and they aren't constantly thinking about him? They become selfish. Selfish. Sometimes even when they do love the Lord, I become selfish. All right? So you see there, it's repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Not going to lay those foundation again. That's the beginning. You can't be saved without that. That's why, you're going on that. Of the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, the eternal judgment. This we will do if God permit. All right? So he's saying, that's a beginning place. Now, you see me. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace ye are what? Through faith. And that not of it is the not of lest any man should. Okay. Hebrews 6:1 says repentance from dead works and faith toward God to salvation being by grace through faith. Can't change it. It's a gift of God. From dead works to faith in God. Acts 20:21. repentance towards God, faith toward Jesus Christ. Why would it say faith toward God in Hebrews? What don't the Hebrews, the Israelites, the Jewish people, believe about Jesus Christ? That he is God. What is the book of Hebrews about? That they can see their Messiah and know that he is God. Faith towards God. Who's God? If you're going to see him, you have to see him through the personage of Jesus Christ. Make sense? You still with me? Make sense? Okay, because Jesus Christ is God the Son. Someone asked, they started reading their Bible, a person, newly saved, wants to minister to them. They said, I started reading in Matthew. I'm going to read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then I'm going to go back to Genesis and read through the Old Testament before I read New Testament. And I said, do me a favor. Start in the Gospel of John. Read the whole book. Because it presents to you, it's the best book in the Bible that presents clearly that Jesus is God the Son. Not a Son of God, God the Son, the living Word. Then read Romans, because it's almost like a legal discourse of God paying the price for me. Killing works, showing faith in Jesus Christ. Then go back and read your New Testament through, and now go and then go back to the Old Testament so that you could then get an understanding and help you. Okay? Only because I want them to see Jesus Christ. If they start off, because you know what happens? How many of you start reading your Bible? You read Genesis and you love the stories, and then you read Exodus and you love the stories, and you start getting into that presenting of the law. And then you get to Leviticus and it just goes, bleh. Do you know how many times I'm well over 300 times through my Bible. Every time I get to Leviticus, it's like, bleh. And when they give the same chargers and the same offering and the same silver and the same this, and they say, then they do it through all 12 tribes. Every word of God is pure. I have to read it. There's something God's going to show me eventually in that. Or he wouldn't give it to us. But it's repentance towards God, because you got to change your mind about him. Can't do it your way, got to do it his way. Oh, look, there's a brook. Can't go over it. Can't go under it. Got to go only through Jesus Christ, because he is God. I do not believe a person is truly saved if they do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. Do they have to believe that to get saved? They got to believe he's the only way. The Holy Spirit will reveal to them. So, you know, you can judge a lot of different things. Some people have grand experience at their salvation. Other people, it's like going, oh. I feel the weight's taken off. That's good. Okay. Because I want you to know, repentance and salvation is not just sorrow. It's not just remorse. Judas Iscariot had remorse. He had sorrow. Now, biblical examples of salvation. We had looked at the prodigal son 2 weeks ago. Luke 15, 17 through 20. It says he came to himself. A change of mind. Realize the truth and then turn to the Father. You know what that's a picture of? Salvation. Zacchaeus repented and was converted so dramatically that he became an honest man who paid back those he cheated. You find that in Luke 19:8. Isn't that kind of neat? When Mark Behe got right, got saved, one of the things he started, because we talked about it, Mark was a wretched sinner. Same as me. My sins the same as his? No, but they all came from lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We're the one who puts it well. Yeah, I stole, but I never killed anybody. Okay? He has a booklet we used for a long time with the Second Chance Christian Newsletter, The Destructive Power of Secrets. After he got saved and God started working on his heart, knowing that it could cause him to go to prison, he contacted every place. He kept praying for God to reveal to him because he was doing it for drugs. He kept praying and asking God to reveal to him, now who did I steal from here? Who did I take from here? Who did I hurt here? He killed a man. He contacted the state of North Carolina. Of course, they were trying to rob him as he was transporting drugs. And before they could kill him, he ran over one. He turned himself in. You know what the state of North Carolina said? A murderous drug dealer got killed. We don't care. It's in his book. I'm not causing, saying something true. What I want you to understand is he was willing to turn himself in to put life in prison because he wanted to be right with the one who'd forgiven him. He started making it right. He had to go to a Walmart somewhere between here and Rochester and say, I stole $200 and some odd worth of stuff out of your store and I want to pay it back. But he was paying back so many people, he says, I'll send you so much money each month until it's paid if you want to have me. He said, you're willing to do that in this day and age? No problem with us. God protected him when he tried to make his heart right. It was such that a man named Glenn Burgess, who Mark was ministering to, tried to do the same thing. But his heart wasn't quite right with it. He turned himself in. He went to prison. Did he still do the right thing by turning himself in? Yes. I don't know why God chooses how to not let the chickens come home to roost with some people. Brother Thren made a comment about so many times God interrupted the harvest I deserved. I don't know how that works. All I know is that when my heart is right with him, God looks to bless. God looks to forgive. Because David, an adulterer, a murderer, a rebellion against the command of God for a king, was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he was willing to change his mind toward God. Repentance. The Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You still with me? Man, you need to understand how great that change of mind that God brings about is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward to Godward is spread. See, again, faith to who? Because Jesus is God. Is spread abroad so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had unto you and how ye what? Turn to God from? To serve the living and true God. They turned, okay, to God.
The order is important. If a man turns to God, his back is on his old gods and his old life. In regards to salvation, doing right and wrong, to be true repentance, it's repentance toward God. Can a person be saved without repentance? No, because it goes hand in hand immediately with faith, with belief. Do you have to understand that repentance? Because you know what you think of when you hear repentance. Well, I repent of this sin and I repent of that. You know, I was raised a good Catholic. You had to say the act of contrition. God, I'm sorry. How many times your kids say, I'm sorry? Did it change? Not 3 minutes later. That's why the story about Elijah, okay? You turn around. Now, how do you use repentance in soul winning? Just a few minutes here and we'll be done. You know that many gospel tracts don't even hint at repentance? They end up, they give you a prayer at the end. They want you to pray so you can claim to be saved. God's going to do the changing, isn't he? It's not you reforming or turning over a new leaf, but it's him being ready to accept God's working. So he must surrender to whose way? God's way. How many people want to accept Christ as their Savior and have nothing change in their lives? Do you get saved to change your life? No, you get saved by putting your faith for eternity. You repent and know that's tied to God. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance was the thing that was missing in so many Baptist churches. It's missing, you know. How many times Brother Thren talked about his dad being saved and being in church, hearing it all the time. He didn't get saved until he was how old? 17. He'd had a belief, but he hadn't trusted in. He knew of him. He knew what was required, but didn't know him. You know what the Christian life is about? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. You're identifying with his payment for your sin. Sometimes you have to deal with people about their need of their repentance. You need to really push on them that they've sinned. You know, sometimes you're dealing with somebody, they already know that. They are already so crushed down, they don't need anybody telling them how rotten they are. They've already repenting of that. They're already looking at that as far as they know that's wrong. They just don't know to repent towards. Do you see it? Do you have to pound on repentance with somebody whose heart is really broken? Is on some having compassion, making a difference. They need to know that the answer for their broken, wicked heart, which is destroying them, is an almighty, sinless, perfect sacrifice. You present to them Jesus Christ. See the difference? Now, somebody else, oh, I'm a good person. No, you're not. You're a dirty, rotten sinner. Yeah. That's what some people think street preaching is about. No, it's not. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men to him. Okay? When Jesus Christ dealt with the woman at the well, he faced her squarely with immortality and with the immorality of what had dominated her life. Right?
She'd had a bunch of men, married to them, and was with one who wasn't her husband. I always wonder, I know of a person who has a relative, and the woman, the relative, has been married 10 times. You're talking about some really stupid men. 10 times? Boy, that must be something real special, isn't it? I'll love you till I get angry with you. I'd be dead by now. Okay, Luke 18. Luke 18. I'm going to do this quickly. You know, I've said that a couple times, and you're all going, we know you're lying, preacher. Luke 18. Verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He wanted what? Eternal life. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. He's trying to get him to see that he's God. You call me good? No, God's the only one good. Before Abraham was, I am, see? Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Aren't you special? Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. The love of money is the root of not a root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. He was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? You know what I'm saying to you? The rich young ruler was looking for God, was not willing to judge his own self-righteousness. What else do I have to add to what I've already done to be good enough to go to heaven? Jesus didn't talk about those other things he said he had done. He probably did. But he got to the crux of the matter for him. Be careful about trusting in uncertain riches. That's what this world will offer you. See, that was the way God deals with people. He reproves men of their sin in order to bring them to repentance. John 16 and verse 8. And that's the way we must deal with men. You want to follow it? I told the people, hey, you can't get anybody saved if you can't get them lost. If they don't know they're lost, they're not going to truly get saved. When they already know they're lost, they're already broken in that sin, you don't need to pound them to get them lost. You need to tell them there's a hope that's beyond anything they could see in this world. That's the difference in when you're trying to witness and evangelize somebody. Preach repentance. You're going to preach it. That means to deal with glaring sins that people are holding on to and tell them plainly they must repent because they're sinning against God. They got to surrender to God's way. Repentance towards God. Faith towards Jesus Christ. You're praying for divine appointments, Judy and I pray every day for them. You've got to pray also for the discernment of the person you're trying to evangelize. If they're self-righteous, they got to get lost. You've got to show them they're lost. If they're already broken, you bring them hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but what? His name. And all God's people said, amen.